Finally, after being thrown off the music for weeks and weeks, we get back to it in this episode with our 2020 Music Awards. Not really. More like we just have a discussion on some of our favorite albums and artists of the year. But make sure you do listen all the way until the end so you can hear Alex and I basically completely destroy what we thought was the worst album of the year. But without further ado, episode 41 of The Transition. Welcome to The Transition, episode 41. Alex Kaprinsky, Demetri Williams, in the studio once again. Had to do the loud intro considering all the things that have been impeding this podcast starting today, from my schedule running over to technical difficulties to Alex Kaprinsky almost choking on a piece of pizza before the podcast started. Big pause. We almost didn't
watch
make
yourself.
It today. I'm sorry. I had to tell the viewers the truth, or the listeners rather, the truth. But we almost didn't make it here today, but here we are, The Transition, episode 41. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can derail us. We got to keep it going in 2021. We got to beat our streak of 2020. I think 2020 we did maybe like 18 or 19 consecutive weeks of episodes before Christmas came up.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think we call Christmas a wash. That should count. I feel like everybody gets
it. So we're still on the streak.
Yeah, 100%. It's the streak.
Okay. We can't miss it. I'm glad we didn't decide to. Well, if we postpone, as long as we get it up by midweek, the time we're supposed to, we're good. But if we change recording days, then
you know, that's enough for government work.
Yeah, they don't care about the behind the scenes. They just care about the content. So here we are, episode 41, and we have finally, after weeks of doing other things and topics not permitting us to get to this, we want to get to our top music, top albums, top artists of 2020. I don't think it was a very strong year for rap music, to be honest, but it was a decent enough one, especially towards like the last 6 months of the year. I think it really picked up, and we just want to do a quick kind of recap episode before we dive into 2021. I don't think any real music has come out for 2021 yet, so this is kind of a good buffering period. Maybe we have something coming next week that we'll be able to really dissect and dive into, but it feels good to be getting back into music for one. Thank God. I feel like we haven't talked about music on this podcast in like a month, it feels like. Because we had the two other episodes that were completely like on different topics, and then we had Christmas before that. So it's like we haven't done a normal episode since like early December, probably. But here we are with a normal episode for you all. But before we do that, as I asked every Friday evening, it's super late this time around because it's like 10 o'clock. Alex Kaprinsky, how was your week?
I'm doing amazing.
Sensational.
It was long, if I'm going to be honest with you. But, you
definitely
know,
was a long week.
We got a 3-day weekend.
Monday MLK.
Yeah, I got MLK. Yeah. So
I'll be working the same way over here, but that's okay.
I'm scheming, trying to figure out when I'm going to blow these 5 PTO days before Q1, before Q1 is up. Which is kind of, I feel like it's always good to have some light at the end of the tunnel in front of you. Mm-hmm. So I know I got 5 days I can take between now and the end of March, which is exciting. How about you?
That's a few 3-day weekends if my calculations are correct here.
I'm almost tempted to try and like take a chunk and not even do like 1 day, but it's
you're not going to mess around.
It's hard to do a week now. It's not like school where you can kind of, I don't know, people, just too many people. Yeah, too many people rely on you now to be taking like a week off.
Oh,
like,
you're relied upon.
Okay, I didn't mean it like that. I'm not important. But
I was going to say, a critical pillar of the business, Alex Kaprinsky over here.
You know what I mean, though? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get what
I feel
you
like
mean.
We've been doing this long enough now that we're like, we do enough stuff and we touch enough pieces of the business that if you leave,
it's going to be noticed.
Yeah, if you pick up and leave for like a week, it's not like something you can just like announce the day before.
Right. Well, we're invested in you, and you're invested in us now, so we kind of need a heads up. I feel that, but I wouldn't even mind. Like, I wouldn't mind just like a little 3-day weekend to refresh at this point. I low key wish I had MLK day off, but
I'm blessed.
I'm in a much of a similar situation. I think I have to use 3 by like the end of March as well. So we'll figure out when we want to take those. However, my week was actually pretty good up until today. Today was really busy, but actually there was a few other busy days in the week. But overall, fairly straightforward. We just keep on pressing on, just keep moving on. It's weird because I think I accomplished pretty much hamster wheel keeps turning. I'm trying to get off the hamster wheel. I have like one toe off right now. I got to get the full paw, and then I got to like flip my way off.
It's hard to get that thing to stop spinning, man.
It's hard to get to stop spinning, exactly.
When you figure it out, you let me know.
But yeah, Alex is on a hamster wheel next to me, just like just getting tore up,
furiously spinning.
I was gonna say Alex has fallen on his hamster wheel. It just keeps on going with him, just lying on his back.
I'm not even walking anymore.
It won't
anymore,
stop
bro.
Regardless. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But no, the week was pretty good. This is actually one of the weeks which I really enjoy when I get everything I wanted to get done, which is rare. But that's the position we're in right now. So we have a pretty chill weekend ahead, other than like responsibility stuff that I have to get done. But other than that, you know, we got some free time, which is nice. So maybe that's my consolation prize for not getting Monday off, is that I have a pretty straightforward weekend. But without further ado, let's get into the music segment of this podcast. Alex Kaprinsky, we are going to talk about the best, in our opinion, music that came out of 2020. And subjectively, very subjectively, allegedly, as we love to say here on the transition. Do you want to go back and forth? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? How should we break this down? We don't really talk about the logistics of this stuff. Back and forth?
Yeah, flow of conscious. We can go back.
All right, I'll start it off.
How many do you have? I haven't even. I think I'm going to be surprised by these picks too, just like everybody else.
Okay, I have 7 or 8. Yeah, we have not talked about this at all. We just brought lists, and now we're
perfect.
Just going to do it.
I'll cut it somewhere in there then. Yeah, we can just go back and forth.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like we're going to have some overlap. First things first, let's start off. I think this was one of the first albums we actually reviewed when we restarted or rebooted or whatever you want to call it, the podcast.
Ready? Rebrand. I'm ready.
The rebrand. Bobby Tarantino's Logic's No Pressure, the sequel to Under Pressure. It made my list. It cracked the list for 2020.
You're terrible, man.
I'm still listening to it to this day. You know, I thought the replay value was going to drop. I thought I wasn't really going to like it that much, and it grew on me. It grew on me from the beginning, almost. Like that first week, I was like, I don't like it, to the point where we got to the Friday recording. I was like, it's actually not bad. And I'll still go back. I'll still put on the intro every now and then. I'll still put on Heard Him Say and a few of those songs that I really enjoyed. Probably 4 or 5 that I actually kind of keep in my my kind of rotation of general songs that I listen to, like my saved on Spotify. But it made it, man. What can I say? Bobby Tarantino, he got me. He got me to be a fan. It was a fire album.
So still getting spin.
Still getting spin to this day.
Wow.
I know it's incredible, but I know you probably think lesser of me because of that. But
almost hung up.
It's Alex was about to stop the podcast before it actually got started. He's like, no pressure. But yeah, it's a good album. If you guys haven't listened to it, definitely check it out. I think it's Logic's best album, I would say, from what I've heard. He sounds good. He pays kind of homage to a lot of his predecessors and a lot of his inspirations, which I think makes for some interesting sound, especially if you don't like how Logic typically sounds. So that's my first one. What do you got for me? Something tells me No Pressure was not on your list.
No Pressure somehow missed my list. Not sure. I gave that one spin and have not come back. But maybe I should.
You didn't spin back the block?
Maybe I should try it again. You're making, based on how high, I mean, that's what I mean. Based on how you talk about it, I feel like I should give it another try.
This might be a Playboi Carti situation.
I'm so averse to Logic as is, man. I don't know if he can, like,
you are very Logic averse.
He's from Maryland too. I mean, I don't know. You know how much I care about.
It's okay. Yeah,
the
like, come on.
From.
This should be you.
Yeah, but he's just terrible. Like, it's like, I don't think you can save that.
That's the only issue. He's bad.
He's just not good. But I'm gonna hop into mine, and I think
okay,
you're gonna
what
have.
Do you
I think,
got
I think
your
you're
list.
Gonna have overlap too, actually. So you can talk about this a little bit too. I put Spilligion down as my first one, and this is in no particular order either.
So did I. Yeah, absolutely. No order was put into
zero thought was put into actually what I don't know if this should be descending or ascending. But one of my favorite albums of the year, as we talked about too, this was one of those that grew a little more than I don't know, first listen, second listen, third listen, fourth listen, it just kept on getting better. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of those that off the first listen. The understanding
grew slowly but surely.
100%. It wasn't like you listen to it once and then you're like, this is enough. I understand what I'm listening to. It was good, but I can put this down for a while. The live instrumentation was amazing. It was refreshing too, because it was a very different sound than I think what we've been hearing for a lot of 2020 as a whole. I think it was just a really significant, important album. Thematically, I thought it was important, and then just how much soul and just the vocals and the production. It was just super unique for what we've been getting really in 2020. So I appreciated that project, and I love everything that comes along with Dreamville and that collective. So what were your thoughts on that one? I don't want to get over in front of my skis and say it's on your list, but
you are correct. Spilligion was on my list. It had to make it. For as much hype and talk that we had when that album came out, it felt like it had its place here. I'll admit it, I didn't re-listen to it a ton after we reviewed and we kind of had one or two episodes about it. I was kind of like, okay, like I'm going to add maybe two songs to my playlist and keep going, but it was a really good album. It was well done. When you have like the history and the story behind it about how these amazing artists came together to just make one amazing piece of work, like that's what collaboration albums should sound like. And I think it was kind of a masterclass of that and showing that to other artists who probably won't listen and will still, you know, go ahead and make playlists rather than actual cohesive bodies of work. But, you know, we'll save that discussion for another day. But yeah, Spilligion was definitely on my list.
I don't think
It was really good.
Yeah, I don't think I can even really name a better song than Happy from last year either, right? As far as just like...
I can agree with that. I think that's like near top.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking of one that really tops that too. And when you have that kind of, I don't know, that kind of song on a project that's only like 10 tracks... pushes it over the edge a little bit.
Agreed. Okay, let me dive into my next one then, since we had such good consensus. I think you're really going to enjoy the fact that I picked this one.
I'm scared.
It was an album that we kind of poked fun at it to a degree, and we were kind of joking around about it, but at its core, for what it was giving you, at its very core, it was actually a pretty good project. Well, I won't say pretty good. It was decent.
Give me that.
When you actually really think about it, the project was decent. Lantifo's Friend or Foe album from 2020 has cracked my list for the top albums. I didn't think it was gonna get here. I didn't think it was gonna make it. But I re-listened to it this past week, and it still slaps. I'm sorry, it still slaps to this day. And I refuse to say that he put out a bad album. He did not put out a bad album. It was actually pretty decent. And compared to some of the trap music that we got this year over here in the U.S., on the other side of the pond, as they say, it was one of the better ones. From India to Dead and Gone to Elon Musk to Slow Burn. I mean, Lancey dropped some heat. Lancey dropped some heat on us. And if you haven't listened to it, I recommend you at least give it a listen, give it a try. It's a different sound from what you're probably going to be used to. It is pretty long as I'm looking through it right now. It's like 20 songs, but if you need a nice little playlist to run through as while you're, it's worth the listen, exactly. And it definitely turned into my number one go-to playlist for running, which was cool, and I think that's why it grew on me so much. But Lancey Foe, Friend or Foe, it's a dope name, it's a dope album cover, and some really good songs on there. Like, all jokes aside, like, some of those songs are actually really interesting, the way he put it together with the combination of instrumentals and then also his vocals, which are kind of trippy. I mean, you have some songs like Ghetto Ute, which is like really weird, and then you have some songs like Dead and Gone in India that are kind of more typical trap affair. It's a big range, I'll say that he put on this project, and it's on there. It cracked it for me.
Well, the thing is, too, like, if you're disappointed with the new Playboi Carti album, you can kind of just filter this in instead and pretend like this was the one that came out.
Absolutely.
Kind of do a little swap.
This was the Playboi Carti album that we were actually looking for.
Missing.
Lancey Foe is basically the UK version of Playboi Carti.
He's literally the drill version.
I want to hear Lancey Foe and Skepta on a project. I think that would actually be
crazy.
Really cool.
Make that collab happen.
I was gonna say, Alex, are you gonna put this together for us? Can you tell your people
to
talk to their people?
I'll get my Twitter fingers going and see what I can make happen.
How many followers do we have on Twitter right now?
I'm not saying that. I may or may not use a burner account. That's fine.
Burner account. If I find out that you have a burner account, you're automatically disbanded from the from the transition. It's over. We're ending the show. Friend or Foe is gonna be my next one. How about you? What do you?
I got Alfredo.
Was that on your list, by the way?
It was not on my list.
I feel like, you heathen. Okay.
I know. I'm trash. It's fine. I have Alfredo, Freddie Gibbs, and The Alchemist as my next project.
Ooh.
Freddie Gibbs is like...
Great choice.
Yeah, Freddie is...
He's on fire this year.
On fire, and I feel like super underrated for how good he is, too. I don't think... Mm-hmm. He's like up there with... Kind of be blasphemous to some people, but like the Coles and the Kendricks and those type of artists as far as what he can do.
I mean, according to Nick, Nick said Freddie Gibbs is better than J. Cole, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Nick's like disrespectful as hell, though. So it's... From a rapping perspective, man, probably better.
What are we saying? Okay, so from a straight bar for bar, you think you're going with Freddie?
Yeah. From like a music perspective, I probably would have to still go with J. Cole from like a pure artist perspective. But if we're talking about rapping, Freddie can basically out-rap every single person on the face of the planet. Yeah, he did an episode of The Cave with with Kenny Beats, which is a super very, very dope YouTube series that Kenny does where he brings artists in and he'll make a beat on and they'll just rap over it. It's very cool, but Freddie's process and just, I don't even know. Freddie can rap over anything, as he's proven over Madlib beats time and time and time again.
Very true.
But his flows are unique. His cadences are unique, and I feel like he's one of those.
Him,
like,
and the Alchemist are a great combination too.
They're undefeated. They
it's like
are
a match made in
they're
heaven.
Undefeated. He's very similar to, I think, like Black Thought in the way too. That I'm pretty sure if you put a microphone in front of him, he could just go for like 45 minutes, and it just would be incredible. But so yeah, that's kind of my next pick. Scotty Beam's incredible. Frank Lucas off that album's great. Babies and Fools with Conway. The whole project's amazing. It's a tight 35 minutes at 10 tracks, kind of what we talked about earlier in an earlier episode. It's like right in that sweet spot of where we think an album should be. So definitely makes my list for this year.
Okay, that's what we like to see.
Solid choice.
So one that solid choice, solid entry. And I should have put a Freddie Gibbs project on here as well. I should have put Alfredo on here, but I didn't. But I'm glad you were the one to give him some love. I think you know more about him than I do. I think I just kind of recently got onto him in the last few months, even though you've been telling me to get onto him, but I was like, you know, when the time is right.
Him and Earth Gang.
But
man,
one I actually want to mention. Yeah, right, exactly. But one that I actually want to mention, now that you said Conway the Machine, it makes me think of Griselda. So it makes me think of Benny the Butcher. So it makes me think of Burden of Proof. Perfect. Benny the Butcher's project from 2020.
Retweet.
Had to put that on here. I think I think it actually got enough, not enough, but a decent amount of playtime / attention from the world that, hey, Benny the Butcher exists. And hey, Benny the Butcher is actually pretty good. I mean, he had some great features on there. He had Big Sean on there, Lil Wayne, other members of Griselda, of course. And they're not taking over, but they're proving their worth. They're proving their salt, if nothing else, with what they did in 2020 and 2019. And just throughout the album, from start to finish, it's really good. It's like a cinematic mafia movie-esque type of feeling to it that he does with the, with a few things. One, with what he's talking about in the subject matter, and then also some of the kind of voiceovers and excerpts he seems to pull from like movies or TV shows, which is really cool. That one with Rick Ross, Where Would I Go? Excellent. Benny the Butcher and Rick Ross on one track, it's like you're almost hearing from the same person twice, but they do it slightly differently. Timeless with Lil Wayne and Big Sean is amazing. He even had Dom Kennedy on here. Do you know how long it's been since Dom Kennedy's been on a song? Were you going to say, Alex?
Is Rick Ross potentially one of, if not the best feature artists of all time?
If it was up to you, he would be. In my opinion, I would say he's up there. I wouldn't say one of the best, though, to be quite honest.
Who do you think's better? I don't want to put you on the spot, but...
Lil Wayne's a better feature artist. I think Lil Wayne's a better feature artist. I think, depending on the project, I think J. Cole could be a better feature artist. I think there's someone else I'm trying to think from like a vocals perspective. There's a few people from a vocals perspective that if you just put them on there, it's like the track has already made itself. Like some of those people just have those golden voices, like an Ari or a SZA or a Frank Ocean. Like
Ty's better.
I would say no, because I'm actually not a big fan of Ty Dolla Sign, to be quite honest. So I'll give Ricky the nod over Ty, but I don't think Ricky's on that that top tier level. He's maybe the tier below for me, if I'm being quite honest.
I think from a rapper, I think if you throw R&B, it's a little bit unfair. But I think from a purely a rap feature perspective, I don't know if there's
purely purely rap, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a feature that's better. Maybe Cole or Kendrick at their prime, wow. But if we're talking body of work, I don't think there's a better feature than Devil in a New Dress, like maybe ever. I'm gonna go back to that every single time.
I was about to say, you just keep going back to that well to prove your point. You're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. It really was a great feature. He is a great feature. A plethora. Yeah. You are like in love with Rick Ross. We have to. Next week we're gonna like do an artist breakdown episode. Maybe we'll do Rick Ross as the topic of focus, because you really have some strong feelings about Rick Ross.
I didn't always know.
I didn't know you were always like this.
I don't know. I just think
brutally.
Brutally. Yeah, I don't think people give him nearly the respect from like just a pure pen perspective, as he should. And from
top 10 pen
of our generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd die on that hill.
Top 10 pen
of our generation.
Wow. Okay.
I'd die on that hill. There's very few people that have a better catalog than Rick Ross, like if we look back at the entire catalog, like discography perspective.
You think so?
He doesn't make bad music. Like, there's no misses.
I mean, but is everything truly a hit, though?
Everything is very good. Like, once again, from my subjective opinion.
We're gonna get into this another day. We're not gonna go down this. We're not gonna fight on this hill for today. But yeah, I did wanna shout out Burden of Proof. It was an excellent project. Up and down. It was great songs all throughout. Griselda, they just keep doing what they're doing, and I love every second of it. So that's my next one.
I got RTJ4, weird, amazing project. Another group.
I had a feeling this was gonna be on here.
Yeah, another group that's undefeated. They don't make, Killer Mike and LP don't make bad music, and I think this is kind of the epitome of
Killer Mike,
amazing. I don't know. He also does a lot of incredible social work down in Atlanta and across the country as well. Fervent supporter of Bernie. So we love Killer Mike and what he does. But makes incredible music. Great album. Weird. Probably the pinnacle of what they've made as well, which is saying a lot, because 1, 2, and 3 have all been really good albums. So it's all kind of
fourth in a series is pretty serious.
Yeah, and it's all kind of led up to this point as far as a lyrical perspective, a production perspective, and even probably a topic and thematic perspective as well. There's some cool songs in this album. So I loved it a lot.
Into the themes with it too.
Yeah, great track with Pharrell on here. 2 Chainz also has a great feature on this project. Just a really, really solid, really, really solid
2
Chainz
is also a great feature artist. That's someone I thought I think we might have left out of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is my, I don't even know if it's my third or fourth pick, but and also to just kind of co-sign you, third. Burden of Proof was also on my list.
Absolutely. Okay, we're flying through this list here. This is about to be our shortest episode ever. Another one I wanted to put on here, speaking of, and I guess maybe we could kind of roll this into the whole Griselda group, Pray for Paris is also on my 2020 list. I think that was a 2020 project, I believe.
Yeah.
Really, 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 really good. Really different too. I don't think anyone is really rapping like the like the way West Side Gunn is right now. Like I don't really hear that cadence, that flow, that slow but fast delivery anywhere else. Of course we've talked, and I think we've talked about it. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it before in terms of the looping sample being like a Griselda's kind of, I don't know, almost their calling card in a way. And he does that to perfection. I mean, WrestleMania 20 is one of my favorite songs that I've ever heard, probably. It's great. But it's I think not, I would say probably of the Griselda like main trio in terms of like him, Conway, and Benny, I think he is the most underrated one, or kind of the one that's like third on that tier.
Westside?
I mean, I think Westside is, because I think people really recognize Conway as being like on that next tier. How do you agree, or
how do you feel? No, I don't think so. How do you feel about Westside's like flow and cadence and voice just in general?
I think it's really cool. Okay. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely different, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. Just his really cadence in general and how he goes about kind of his craft is different.
It sounds like he came straight out of like the 90s or something. Like they just teleported him to come into 2020 and 2019. Yeah. He's definitely not someone who's like similar to anyone else that's out right now, but I think that's for the best, honestly.
Yeah, this was an amazing album. Could not agree more. Features on this thing were ridiculous too, which was the other thing.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. That's a great point.
Album art was was cool as hell as well. But
Fuego.
Yeah, really, really good album. I think the Tyler the Creator track, I forget what the hell that song was called, was really...
Yeah, also I was going to say, I wanted to shout that one out, but I couldn't remember what the name of it was. And it's funny because him and Tyler, I think, make a great combination in terms of like a duo, because their voices are both kind of like super gravelly and weird.
What's my West Side project?
500 Ounces, French Toast. A lot of good songs on here. A lot of good songs. Claiborne Kick was also really good too, with Boldy James.
Also a super underrated artist. I don't know. I have not listened to enough of his music.
You were the one who actually told me about him.
Yeah, The Price of Tea in China. Yeah, he really, that whole, everybody that's associated with that collective makes really good music.
I think that was on Nick's kind of albums of the year as well, actually, The Price of Tea in China.
Yeah.
And one other Boldy James project, I want to say, but a little shout out to him. Slip that in there.
Do a live fact check. Yeah, uh-oh. The Price of Tea in China. The Versace tape as well.
There it is,
was a really good project. And then from West Side Gun too, I don't know, what was the project that I really liked from him, and then we can move on.
There was another one. It was like an all black kind of album.
Hitler Wears Hermes, I really liked.
Yeah, Hitler Wears Hermes 7. Who made The Sunshine?
Yes. Really cool album art on that one too.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. All right, Alex, what do you got?
I'm up next. Probably my favorite album of the year, right? Uh-oh. Which direction I'm gonna go?
Oh no.
You probably know where I'm going.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, While the World Was Burning. I don't know. My St. John stand-em runs pretty deep. So
runs
it's a little
deep into this man's veins.
Yeah. So I think it's a little bit, it's super, super biased when I tell you how much playback this album has got over the
too
past.
Much. Too much.
Way too much. Whenever, this is the thing, I'm waiting for whenever the world opens back up so I can go see this album live. Because I never got to see Ghetto Lenny live when he toured, because I wasn't super aware of St. John even at the time that he really released that project until a little bit later. So this is one of those albums that I think is going to be really, really cool live, and he's one of those artists that even watching stuff on YouTube has a really interesting stage presence, so I'm excited for whenever the U.S. kind of can open back up to see this thing. But Sucks to Be You is
never
exactly, it's gonna be another year. But Sucks to Be You is one of my favorite tracks of the year. Back on the Ledge,
Sucks to Be You. Yeah,
that was disrespectful, but I'm gonna move on. Back on the Back on the Ledge.
Super bad take from Dimitri, I'm sorry.
Back on the Ledge is also one of my favorite songs. Loved Ransom. This album was just filled with good music.
Fuego.
Yeah, loved the project. I know you had a little bit of a differing opinion on this, but
it was, oh man, I haven't honestly, I vaguely remember my point on the St. John project. It feels like it was so long ago. I think we talked about this in like early December, November. But I think I was saying that it felt like he was kind of using the same parts for each song, and it kind of got repetitive, if I remember my take correctly. And I didn't really go back enough and really dive into the album to amend that point or really see if maybe it was going to be the same over time. But maybe I should, because consistently, I think that's like St. John is starting to become the new J. Cole in terms of consistency of showing up on this podcast, especially with Alex's stand-up that popping off as hard as it has over 2020. But yeah, I completely co-sign that. I think that makes it into album of the year contention. My next one is actually going to be one that I think we probably both have on here. I think The Balancing Act by Static Selecta. I think that makes it on here. Another great collaboration album from a bunch of different artists. Production obviously done by Static Selecta, and we had everybody from Jack Harlow all the way to like Marlon Crafts. Like, it was just a great range of artists. Like, it was really dope to hear how he like combined everyone together. Hearing Joey and Nas on a project, hearing Dave East and all these other artists that you typically just wouldn't hear on one single project. Actually, let me pull it up right now, and see some of the songs that were on here that I really liked. Time with Jack Harlow, that we shouted out, that was a really great project. Joey Badass's Watch Me, that was great. Dave East and Method Man, that's who I was trying to think of. Conway the Machine and 2 Chainz on Play Around. Ralph Lauren's Closet was another great song. No More. I mean, it was a great album. It was just a great album. And to start it off with Black Thought, like,
no better way.
I just wish we got more of them on the album, but there's no better way to start off a project than with Black Thought. So I mean, I won't say it's a 10 out of 10 project, but I see no flaws with it. I'll say that. Like, there wasn't a single skip on that album. It didn't really have like a true, you know, purpose to it, but it was just, I think everyone kind of got on the album and kind of touched on a different topic, and I'm not sure that it made one cohesive whole, but a bunch of different topics that were equally important and interesting to listen to, and I liked it. I mean, some of them, they were kind of just your regular trap affair and big boy talk and all that, but for the most part, I think it was a lot of just well-written lyrics and well-written music and well-produced music. So The Balancing Act, Static Selecta. If you haven't listened to it because it didn't really get a ton of push, unfortunately, we almost missed it. You should listen to it. It's really good. It's really good.
I want to piggyback off that take. This was not on my list, but Streams of Thought Volume 3, Cain and Abel, was incredible.
Oh, good one.
Came out in 2020. And I need to give that more spin than I've actually given it the past couple months. So I'm going to try and get back into that project because it was amazing off of the limited amount of listens that I gave it. Yeah, and I guess the last couple projects I want to talk about, I'm going to exclude Savage Mode 2 off of the...
That was actually on my list. I'm actually going to... I actually had a piece to say on that if you want to go into it.
Perfect. I will. I'm gonna defer for now, and then I'm going to piggyback off your take. Because that...
Listen, okay, Savage you know Mode 2 and Let's I, go. We've had a... We've had quite a relationship. We've had quite a relationship. Savage Mode 2, I hated it at first. I didn't hate it. I just thought it wasn't as good as everyone was kind of making out to be. I was very disappointed.
So I was like, right. Yeah,
like it's typical fanfare. I wouldn't say you were right, but so I would right. say
no, it sounds like I was right.
It was decent enough to put on the list, and I decided, and that's the thing. I had to be in the because in my defense, I went from listening to Static Selecta's Balancing Act to Savage Mode 2, and I'm just like, listen, this is you can't hit those from back to back and think that it's a apples to apples comparison. It's more like apples to pears, if you will. Shout out to Rick Ross. So I felt like I had to be in the right frame of mind to listen to Savage Mode 2, and when I got there, it was pretty good. It makes a great workout album, which these things do exist, you know, albums that you don't listen to in a certain kind of frame of mind or a certain time. And if you run through, Running is a pretty catchy song. Glock in My Lap. Mr. Right Now. Still refuse to say Mr. Right Now is a good song. It's a terrible song. I did not like the Drake feature on that, as I don't like many Drake features. I didn't like the Young Thug song after that one. Sliding, I didn't like. Many Men was good. Snitches and Rats, both of them were good. My Dog, Brand New Draco, No Op Left Behind, I thought was pretty funny. So it's a decent album. I think it at least deserved it. I'm screaming, no, I left behind till I shoot you in, or shall I punch you in the jaw? Oh my goodness. But it's it was decent, and I won't say that it's, if there was a, if I was to order these albums in any specific order, this would definitely be at the bottom. But I still wanted to include it in here to make sure I gave it its nod. It was one of the better trap albums from this year. I'll say that. I'll give it that much if I can, Mr. Alex.
You finally come around to the light.
Finally came around.
Took a couple months, but you know what? You made the right decision.
Took a couple tries to get me to get me to where I need to be, but I'm there. So what did you have to say about Savage Mode 2? Did you want to just double down on your correctness from before?
I want to double down. I'm gonna pound the drum that I was right about it off first listen.
Oh boy.
You should have known after you heard Glock in my lap that it was gonna
should have known that it was gonna have longevity. After I heard the bar about he think he the battery, call him Elon Musk. That should have been what tipped me off.
The album's not even that good, but it's like if we're talking about like specifically like that genre of music, it's like the pinnacle. Do you know what I mean? If we're talking about that genre of music,
specifically.
Yeah, 100%. So we got I caveat that, because I think you are actually more right than me with this album after listening to it for a couple months. I don't really want to pound the drum, actually. I want to walk it, but do a transition.
Oh, we walk the tape back just like that.
Yeah, I think if we're I'm doing a little mean reversion. I'm kind of reverting a little bit back to more where you are on the project. Yeah, it was
good.
Get
back to the median.
Yeah, it was good, but if we're talking about it in the broad scope of music in general and kind of the albums that we've already talked about on this episode, it falls flat relative to a spilligion of the world.
That's the exactly a spilligion, especially it can't hold its water against something like that. But in its own lane, it's decent. Did you I had one more I wanted to get into, but did you have any other albums you wanted to touch on, or did
yeah
you
I can do
your
I can
list?
Do one more King's Disease.
Okay,
I wanted to talk.
Oh,
about.
Good. How did I miss that? Great pull. I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Amazing album. Really good cover art, which pulls me in off the rip. But the album was tight. It wasn't too long. There were no filler tracks. The features were perfect. The Charlie Wilson feature was perfect. Hit-Boy did an amazing job on the album. All Bad with Anderson, I still go back and listen to almost every single day.
Bad.
It's one of those.
To take a loss.
It's one of those, I don't know, that melody and what he does on that track is just one of those. It's going to be relatively.
Anderson is so good, by the way.
It's amazing, amazing. Yeah, he can. He's actually, speaking of features, one of those people that will automatically turn a track into something that's listenable. But Nas,
great point.
Illmatic was really like the first actual like hip hop album that I ever listened to. Like ever. So to kind of be able to go full circle and to
got some history.
Yeah, and to come back now and hear Nas at a very different time and a very kind of different place in his life. I think it was really fascinating to kind of hear his perspective once again, but from, I don't even know, 30, how many years later now?
25 at least.
Yeah. So
I think Illmatic was maybe 98 or something like that. Let me see. I'll do the quick
fact check. But this was one of my favorite albums of the year, and it's
1994.
26 years?
Yeah. No, 26, 27 in April.
Yeah, something like that. So,
you like that quick math right at the top of my head?
I was going to say that was pretty impressive. but just from a longevity perspective, right? How many hip-hop artists, or artists in general,
three decades?
Hip-hop, make it
that's
that
pretty ridiculous.
Long. It's like damn near close to like the beginnings of hip-hop until, I mean, give or take 20 years, but damn near close to the beginnings until literally now. Give or take 20 years. A little generous with the math, but it's fine.
A little generous with the mathematics, but no, I get what you're saying. He's a pillar of the game, and to have him still rapping on this level to the point where he could be nominated for, like, I think he was in the Grammy nominations or whatever.
I believe
as Album of the Year. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. You don't really see that in the rap genre or really any other genre for people to be going that hard
him
for
and
that
Hove.
Long.
Are the only ones to really do it like
him
that,
and Hove, even though Hove tries to shaft him whenever he gets a chance.
That's
all BS. They're still going strong.
444 is an amazing album too, though, and hopefully Jay can give another one at some point. He's busy doing all kinds of crap.
I've been wondering if he has another one of those in him. I feel like he doesn't, but I mean, maybe he'll prove me wrong, because I didn't think we were going to get 444, and then we did, and I was like, this is one of the best albums I've ever heard.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, it was really good. Too good, honestly.
Well, that was prompted. I didn't mean to cut you off, but like you said, that was prompted from the whole Beyonce incident. So I don't know. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Spontaneous,
maybe.
Right? Yeah. It felt more spontaneous than anything else. Like, it doesn't feel spontaneous because it was so well crafted, but it
well
felt
thought
like
out.
It came from a certain time in his life, and he reacted to that time through art. So maybe something else
Pretty
will happen.
Crazy.
I hope nothing ill on.
I was going to say, let's see if Beyonce, like, divorces him or something. He's going to come out with, like, 555 or something, like, to go back into it, just keep it going. But one album I wanted to touch on before we finish up, which I've been beating the drum on this one almost as hard as Alex has been beating the drum on St. John, is Deontay Hitchcock's Better. I still think it is one of the best albums of 2020. I still think he's really underrated. I still think you need to check him out if you haven't already. I mean, it's just such a good project. From Shadow Man's Interlude to the actual song Better on the project, to Angels, to it's just so good.
Circles.
It's just so good. You said Circles should also be on the 2020 list.
Oh, no, like Circles, like the track on that Hitchcock album.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. I was going to say.
Well, Circles too, both.
I was going to say, okay, both. Fair enough. Yeah, I was going to say, right now, right? Let's just throw it in. But yeah, Circles was also really good. Flashbacks was great. I remember just starting it off at the top. It's just such a good project. It's not that long. You got the Young Nudie feature on there. You got the Jid. You got the Six Lack. Actually, some pretty good features on here as I'm looking. In kind of like the first half of the album. Then the second half is just pure bars, pure Deontay, and you're kind of hearing him kind of tell the story of his life and some of the things that he's kind of brought himself through / is bringing himself through, which is really, really cool. I love albums like that. They're kind of reflective. So if you haven't checked it out already, Better. I've talked about it enough on the podcast. I'm not going to go back into why it's so great. I think I actually did a 20-minute rant on it in one episode or something like that. So go back and listen to the episode, and go back and listen to Better as well. It's not too late. It's still fresh enough that you can get into it, and we won't call you a bandwagon. I think he still only has, like, you know, maybe 15,000-20,000 followers on Twitter or something. So he's in the infancy of his career. You better get on it now. Get on the wave now so you can be one of the originals. but I think did you have anything else you wanted to touch on, or was that it?
I'm looking through right now, and I think that's basically everything on my end.
That was basically everything on my list too.
I'm gonna look back after this.
And also, before we, be like, we forgot, you know, 20 artists. But before we get out of here, I also wanted to mention one of the worst albums of the year, which he's almost escaped our view because we were talking about so many different things over the past few weeks that we never got a chance to go to this. And funny enough, we actually recorded a full episode about this album that we really wanted to dive into it. But just due to the timing and everything that was going on, it didn't really feel right to release it. So it got shelved. But I will still touch on it now. Playboi Carti, trash. That album was trash. It was awful. I mean, it was so much worse than either of the albums that he's put out over the past few years. Like, that self-titled album and Die Lit were way better than Whole Lotta Red. Whole Lotta Red was garbage, and it was like 25 songs worth of garbage. Literally, this is the same thing we talk about episode in, episode out, of artists who just put a lot of random stuff together and think it's going to sound good, and it doesn't. And as Alex got into on the episode that we actually recorded, it was that it seemed like Playboi had a lot more influence on this album, which was a bad idea. Like you could tell the you could tell the influence on the original album Playboi Carti, and then also Die Lit that okay, Pierre is like 65% of this album, features are about 25%, and then the remaining is Playboi Carti just over there in the corner doing a weird ad lib or you know whatever he does. It doesn't do much, and that was the album, and it sounded good. This one, a lot less features, a lot less creative direction from outside forces, I'm going to imagine. And you could tell it sounded terrible. It literally sounded bad. I mean, the mixing, even in some certain sections, and the vocals, the way they're being delivered, there wasn't enough auto-tune. Where have you ever heard us say that there wasn't enough auto-tune on a project? We've never said that ever in the history of the show. Bro, like, it sounded too normal. It sounded too much.
I don't know if there was enough autotune that could have saved that. T-Pain could have given his whole discography to that album, and I don't know if it would have saved it.
And it still wouldn't have made it?
No.
Oh, man. It was bad. It was more than bad. It was terrible, actually. I mean, I'm not going to go through the tracks because I could only get to about to No Sleep, and then I was like, okay, why do I keep listening to this?
Time to go to sleep.
Vamp Anthem, King Vamp. He's trying to do like this whole vampire Halloween-esque aesthetic, and it was just bad. It was a terrible album. It's probably the worst album of the year, not going to lie. And it was very disappointing. I mean, Playboi Carti is a pretty underwhelming artist to begin with, but... To have him put out this, like, after we've been waiting for like a good like 2 years now, I think, or almost 2 years, like trash. He solidified his place as a bad artist.
So I was right.
That's
after
all I have to say about that. Yeah, it took a little while for it to boomerang back to us, but he was a bad artist all along. Dilated in and of itself is a good project, though. I will stand on that. It has its benefits.
4 years later, my take is coming to fruition.
Alex was just waiting for this rose to bloom for 4 years that Playboi Carti would slip up, and he sure did.
It's been stewing for a while.
I was marking off the days on his calendar to when Playboi Carti would drop some more garbage.
I'm etching tallies on my wall.
December 25th, 2020 is when he finally slipped up on that banana peel.
Yeah,
and Alex and I were there to catch him. I'm so glad we kept the podcast going long enough to see this come.
Thank God.
Come full circle.
I don't even have to say anything.
Oh my God.
You covered everything.
I don't think so.
Unlistenable.
That was it. Did you?
Mixed like hell. We could make a better album on our microphones that we're using right now.
I was gonna say, on these basic Samsung microphones, I think we could put together a better project, production and everything, than a whole lot of Red. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, it really makes me question. I don't know. Like, it makes me question a lot of things you can put
together. Everything.
Yeah, it makes me question my career choice.
Right.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was awful. I haven't listened to an album that bad in a really long time. And you put it out on Christmas, too. Like, what the hell?
How dare you? How dare you ruin my holiday with that?
Yeah, this Christmas was shitty. Was bad enough as is without you. Couldn't go outside, can't do anything, can barely see family members, and you have to like double down by putting out this horrible
pile it
project.
On.
Honestly, disrespectful to Jesus, but that's cool.
but that's the story for another day.
The Lord was all right, born, so with and that, dropped this crap.
Oh my God. Alex is getting his bag now. It's almost 11 o'clock, so Alex is he's losing his couth, if you will. So we're going to go ahead and end episode 41 on that
That's
note.
That's all she wrote.
Shout out to Jesus. Shout out to Playboi Carti for being terrible. And let us know what you guys thought of our 2020 roundup. Let us know who we left off. Let us know who we should have put on here. And let us know what you thought of the list that we did put out, and the albums and artists that we did kind of touch on. And I think that's, yeah, pretty much all I had to say. Make sure you follow the Transition_pod on Instagram as usual, as we pretty much always mention. We put out some cool stuff on there every now and then. And we'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.